Tonight's reading is from the Gospel of John, from chapter 14, verses 15 to 31. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I'm going away, and I will come to you. If you love me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you would cause your Spirit again to show his power here on earth, that as we hear your word now, you would reveal your glory to us and cause us to hunger after you and to be satisfied in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me tell you about the last time that I cried. We were watching a TV show, an Australian TV show, called Bluey. It's about a family of four dogs. And in the episode, just out of interest, who knows Bluey? Some of you, most of you are missing out on something amazing. You can YouTube it later. In the episode Sleepy Time, the youngest dog, Bingo, dreams about travelling through space with her teddy bear. And at one point on her travels, she lets go of her teddy bear so that the teddy bear can go off and join some other teddies. And she travels on alone. And then she realises that she's all alone in space. And she starts crying. And then suddenly she finds herself in front of this huge sun. And the sun speaks to her in the voice of her mum. Remember, I'll always be here for you, even if you can't see me, because I love you. And that's when I started crying. Before you start psychoanalyzing me, let me suggest that that episode is powerful for all of us Because we all know Bingo's fear. What if I'm abandoned? What if I'm all alone in this universe? And being a Christian doesn't automatically make that fear go away. Sometimes being a Christian can even make that fear get worse, because being a Christian means putting all your hope and all your trust in someone you've never seen. For Jesus' friends here in John 14, it means putting all their hope on the man who is about to leave them, the man they're about to see killed. Will Jesus abandon them? Have you been abandoned? Will you ever be abandoned all on your own in this universe? To which Jesus tonight in our passage says, if you submit to me as Lord, I will never leave you. You will never be alone. You're never alone. And the first reason that Christians are never alone is this, because Jesus is with you by his Spirit. Now, as Jesus talks about the Spirit, he's not promising some impersonal Star Wars force. Look down at verse 17. Jesus calls the Spirit a he. He will dwell with you. He, not it. The Holy Spirit is a person. He personally lives in Christians. And that's the first little sub-point here. The Spirit lives in you, verses 16 to 17. So look down at verse 16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Jesus is describing here what he will do for his disciples after his death. As he returns to heaven, after he's died and been resurrected, as he returns to heaven to his Father's side, where he's surrounded by heaven's worship, he will not forget us. He will keep on caring for his church. And he'll care for us by asking the Father to send us the Helper. One who is with us, one who is with us to strengthen us so that we love and obey God. Now, when Jesus promises here another helper, he literally means another helper of the same kind as him. Another helper present with his disciples, strengthening them, just like Jesus did before his death. There's one big difference, though. Before his death, Jesus was always an external helper. He could only ever be in one place at one time. After his death and resurrection, Jesus will send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to be with all his disciples in all places at all times. How will that work? Well, because this Holy Spirit will be in them. Verse 17, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Now, the Holy Spirit has always been with God's people throughout the history of the world, from the very first people who believed. The Holy Spirit has always been enabling people to turn from their sin and put their trust in God's promised Saviour. But at Pentecost, it's like God pours out his Spirit in a greater fullness than ever before. It's like he goes from using a tap to a garden hose, if you like. And therefore, verse 17, he dwells with you, he will be in you. Verse 16, this helper will be with you forever. That's an amazing promise. Think of all the things you can lose in this life. I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up, but think of how often you lose things that are precious to you. Phone, keys, memory, or reputation, or friends. I got burnt on my head for the first time today. I'm still getting over that. You can lose your strength, your sight, your hearing. If you live long enough, you will lose your memory. If you get Alzheimer's, it will look like you're losing yourself. But if you're a Christian, you'll never lose the Holy Spirit. He lives in and with you forever. So that even if you lose yourself, you do not lose him. You're never alone. You're never abandoned. So Jesus says, you're not alone, because the Holy Spirit will come and live in you. And then as he lives in you, he will give you life. Our second little subheading, the Spirit gives you life, verses 18 to 20. Jesus' disciples are anxious They're troubled. Jesus promises, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. How will Jesus do that? Well, through the helper he's going to send. Jesus will die, will conquer death, will rise again to his Father's right hand as Saviour and Judge, and he will pour out life on this world. And what does this life look like? Well, it's not Jesus taking some package off heaven's shelf and handing it over to you, something. It is Jesus giving you himself. Jesus sharing what he is and what he has. Jesus coming to you through his Holy Spirit. So verse 18, Jesus is the Son of God, and therefore he will not leave us as orphans. He will share that son relationship with us. He will make us children of God. Jesus will not hold us at arm's length away from him. Instead, he will reach out and bring us to himself, bring us to his heavenly Father. Which means tonight, if you're trusting Jesus, you're not out in the cold, spiritually speaking. You have been brought into God's family, and God sees you, God treats you, God loves you like his darling child, the apple of his eye. Because he's made you alive in Christ, he's given you life in Jesus. Verse 20, in that day, the day when Jesus pours out his Spirit, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Amazing promises. So hard to wrap your head around. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, if you are a Christian, or if you will put your trust in Jesus for the first time tonight, if you realize you're a sinner who needs saving, who needs forgiveness, and you go to Jesus saying, please, would you have me? What will happen to you? Well, the Father will welcome you into his Son. So that just as truly as the Son lives in the Father, so you will now live in the Son. And the Son will live in you by his Spirit. So that your whole existence, your whole life, your whole identity, all that you are, is wrapped up in the love that the Father and the Son have shared for all eternity. So that you become inexplicable without the love that the Father has for the Son. Your life makes no sense. Your life cannot be explained apart from the love that the Father has for the Son. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Verse 21. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. I don't know what you think your biggest problem is this week. I'm pretty sure that your biggest problem and my biggest problem is that we don't believe what Jesus is saying in verse 21. We read verse 21 and we think, or we fear, Jesus means something like, love me and then I'll love you back. Like you put in a little bit of love and you get a little bit of love back. Jesus doesn't mean that. Jesus started loving us before the world began. Jesus is not describing in verse 21 how to become a Christian. He's describing the experience of Christians. So put your name into verse 21. Listen to Jesus say to you, as you, your name here, love me, you are loved by my Father, and I will love you, and I will manifest myself to you. Back in chapter 5, verse 20. Jesus said that the Father loves the Son and therefore shows him all that he does. And you get the same idea here at the end of verse 21. I will love you and show myself, manifest myself to you. Jesus is again saying to us, what the Father is to me, that I am to you. In me, in union with me, you have the perfect love of the Father. As the Father loves me, so I love you. Which means you cannot have a greater intimacy a greater love, a greater kindness, a greater commitment, a greater relationship in this life than the one you've been given in Jesus. Than the relationship every Christian has with God by his Spirit. And the wonderful thing about verse 21 is that Jesus isn't saying, listen, the love you put towards me, that's the love you'll get back. You give me two cupfuls of love, I'll give you two cupfuls. No, Jesus is saying, you love me with those little, tiny, little, weak, pathetic drops of love that you and I give him, and I will pour out everything on you. All the unceasing love of my Father for me, I will pass to you. We could not be any more loved than we are. Which raises the question, my goodness, if this is so wonderful, so true, why don't we realize this more? Why don't we enjoy this more? And the sad and simple truth is that we don't live like this is true because we are so self-obsessed. We're so self-worshipping, addicted to self-worship, that we're always thinking about ourselves and that we trust ourselves more than we look to Jesus and trust him. This is one of my favourite quotes from a Scottish pastor who died before he was 29, a guy called Robert Murray M'Cheyne. He once wrote this: live much in the smiles of God. Is that how you think of God? How you think of God's relationship to you? Live much in the smiles of God. Bask, tan yourself in the beams of his love. Feel his all-seeing eye settled on you in love, and rest in his almighty arms. Now, just like the sunshine outside is causing Leipzig to grow and all the plants to come out, so living in the sunshine of God's love causes us to grow, causes our love to grow. It is as you live in the smiles and kindness of God that you will learn to love him more, because his love will give you love for him. And the more you love him, then the more you'll keep Jesus' commandments, verse 15. Friends, do you see? You are never alone. Jesus is with you by his Spirit. This is what Jesus promises all who love him. How do I know if I love Jesus? Really simple. Jesus tells us, verse 15, do you keep his commandments? Not perfectly. None of us does that. But truly. That in verse 15 might surprise you. Maybe you've heard it said by Christians, maybe you've said it yourself. Christianity is not about rules, it's about a relationship. And yet, every relationship has rules, doesn't it? That's how relationships work. Jesus himself teaches true love for him looks like keeping his commandments. Verse 15, look down. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Verse 21, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. If you love Jesus, you'll keep his commandments. Not perfectly, but truly. And if that's you, not perfectly, but truly, if that's you, know that Jesus is with you by his Spirit. And if that's not you, turn to Jesus, believe in him, receive all that he has promised. Now, Jesus' disciples hear all of this, and at least one of them gets confused. Judas, not Iscariot. Probably that guy had to go through the rest of his life introducing himself, going, hi, my name's Judas, not Iscariot. I would have got my name changed quite quickly. Anyway, Judas, not Iscariot, gets confused there in verse 22. Why is he confused? He's probably thinking of Old Testament prophecies, where God had promised that when his king came to earth, everyone would know about it. Isaiah 40 verse 5, for example, all flesh shall see my glory. All flesh, everyone. But here in John 14, Jesus is just promising to manifest himself, to show himself to those who love him. And so verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, says, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Which brings us to the second part of our comfort tonight. Jesus is with you by his Spirit through his word. As you read through verses 22 to 31, it can look like Jesus has completely ignored Judas's question, which would be a bit rude. But I don't think Jesus has. There are two clues that he is answering Judas's question about the world. Clue one, verse 27, the world cannot give the peace Jesus gives. Clue two, verse 31, the world needs to know that Jesus loves the Father. So even though it might not look like Jesus answering Judas's question, he is. And he's going to answer it in three steps. Step number one, the Spirit transforms through Jesus' word, verses 23 to 24. The Spirit transforms through Jesus' word. The number two guy in the Church of England, so not the Archbishop of Canterbury, but the Archbishop of York, number two bishop or Archbishop in the Church of England, recently preached this: God will not judge us on doctrinal orthodoxy, that we all believe the right things. Instead, all that matters is that we love each other. I'm not sure that the Archbishop has read John 14. Look at what Jesus says, verse 15 and verse 21. Keep my commandments. Then, verse 23 to 24, keep my word. Not just my commandments, but everything I say, my commands and my promises, my word, everything. Jesus is saying, listen, remember when you go to the döner bar, for a döner, and they ask you, what salad do you want? And you say, well, I'll have some of this and some of that, but no red onion, please, because no. Jesus is saying, do not treat my word like the salad bar. I want you to keep all of it. My commands and my promises, keep my word. And Jesus says there in verses 23 to 24 that how we treat Jesus' word reveals what we love the most. If you love the world's acceptance and admiration, sooner or later you will abandon Jesus' word. If you love Jesus, you'll keep his word even when the world doesn't want to hear it. So whom do you love most? Whose words do you want to keep? Who do you want to sound like tomorrow? Whose words do you want to speak tomorrow? The words of the world, the words of Jesus. That's how you know whom you love the most. And sandwiched between this, Jesus makes another promise. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. In verse 2 of chapter 14, Jesus promises to go to heaven and make a home for us there. And yet here, Jesus promises that God will come and live in us now and make his home with us now. How will God do that? Well, by his Spirit. So from the moment you first believed in Jesus, the very first moment you came to him and said, please would you have me, God moved into your life. And God said, right, you'll be home. God made you part of his temple. And as you take Jesus' word deeper and deeper into your heart and mind, the Holy Spirit is renewing you from the inside out, renovating you, revealing more and more of God's beauty inside you so that God's temple becomes more and more visible in how you speak, how you act, how you think. God says, keep my word, and by my Spirit, I'll come and make my home among you, in you. Long ago, people drew up a list of the seven wonders of the world. According to Wikipedia, these were things that tourists, even in ancient Greece, longed to go and visit. Stunningly beautiful achievements of a past world. The seven wonders of the world. They are, however, all dust. Sooner or later, that they all crumble as dust. If you love Jesus, the Holy Spirit has made you and is making you one of the wonders of the world to come. A wonder that cannot crumble. A temple of the living God that will last forever. So how will Jesus show himself to the world? Well, step one, by his Spirit, making those who keep his word into temples that display who he is. There is, however, a problem with what Jesus is saying. All of this hinges on Jesus' word. How will his disciples remember Jesus' word after his death? It's going to be very traumatic. How are they going to remember? Verses 23 and 24, Jesus makes promises to anyone and whoever, not just to the disciples there with him, but anyone and whoever who keeps his word. How on earth will other people have access to Jesus' word? Do you see the problem? Step two, the Spirit who transforms us into temples through Jesus' word is the Spirit who teaches Jesus' word. There in verses 25 to 28. Now, to understand Jesus in these verses, you need to know he's not speaking to you, which might sound a little confusing. But think, look at verse 26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit cannot remind you and me of all that Jesus said to his disciples before his death, because we weren't there to hear him say it. Jesus is speaking to the disciples in the room with him, promising them that the Holy Spirit will remind them and teach them. He's speaking to the people who, after Pentecost, became the first leaders of the church and the people who ended up writing the New Testament. And Jesus is promising them that the Holy Spirit will remind them and teach them of all that he has said. He's guaranteeing for us that even after his death, Jesus' word will be recorded without fail, without mistake, without error, without flaw. Verse 26, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And through the Holy Spirit doing that for the apostles and then recording it, we now today have full access to all that Jesus has said, to all that Jesus wants us to hear from him. This is what the Father sent his Spirit to accomplish. In the Bible, we've got everything Jesus sent his Spirit to teach. All the things that the Spirit reminded the apostles of, all the things that they recorded. And as we come to the Bible now, even tonight, the same Spirit who taught these truths to those first human authors, that the same Spirit now shines in our heart so that we love Jesus and keep Jesus' word. Which means when we come to the Bible, we're never coming to a dead book that we need to inject with life. We're coming to a living book that gives us life. Because Jesus' words are full of his Spirit, full of his presence. They are words that can even give us peace. Look down at verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Where? How? Where do you find the peace that Jesus promises that he leaves for us? In the Spirit-taught word. In the Father's word, given to the Son, spoken by the Son and taught by the Spirit. The word that promises that Jesus has gone to his heavenly Father for us, that he now rules there for us, that he sent his Spirit to us, that he has not left us as orphans, but has come to live in us and dwell in us. Promising that we're never alone, never abandoned, that we're adopted. So how do you empty your heart of its trouble and ache? How do you fill it with the peace that Jesus promises by going to the word that he's left us and that his Spirit has taught, by trusting that the only reason you and I have not seen Jesus today, the only reason we cannot see Jesus right now, is not because he's walked out on us, not because he's abandoned us, but because, verse 28, he has returned to his Father's infinite glory to rule in splendor for us. Step one, the Spirit transforms us into temples through Jesus' word. Step two of Jesus' answer, the Spirit teaches Jesus' word. Third and final step, the Spirit talks Jesus' word. Verses 29 to 31. Again, you want to ask, why is Jesus telling his disciples so much just before his death, when they're going to find it so hard to remember anything that he said, humanly speaking? Well, verse 29, I have told you this before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. Believe what? Believe that Jesus' death on the cross is not an accident, not a tragedy, but it is God's grace to the world. Believe that Jesus dies not for his sin, but for our sin. Believe that we're sinners so addicted to rebellion that we cannot stop sinning. Believe that we, because of our sin, are those whom the devil has claims on. That we deserve death and damnation. Just look at verse 30. The ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but he has claims on you and me. Jesus wants us to believe that. And Jesus wants us to believe that he lived a spotless life, that he never ever sinned, that all his thoughts were holy and all his words were true and all his actions were righteous, so that Jesus' whole life was one continual act of loving obedience to the Father, so that the ruler of this world, the devil, has no claims on him. And therefore, why does Jesus go to the cross? Verse 31, I do as the Father commanded me, because I love the Father. Jesus is saying to his disciples, none of you love me and keep my Father's word as you should. Because of your sin, you actually belong to the devil, this world's ruler. You stand condemned. And so I will go in your place. I will obey my Father. I will keep his word and his commandments even unto death. The Father has sent me to lay down my life for my sheep. I love my Father. So I will die your death for you. I have made your sins and your debts my own. Every reason the devil has to lay claim of you, I have taken and made mine. And I will now pay for it all in my blood. And because I lay down my life for you, all the devil's claims on you are cancelled. You are no longer his, you are mine and mine forever. No longer condemned, but cleansed. Jesus says all this, the disciples would believe. And he doesn't just say it, he goes and does it. And at the cross he suffers terrible agony. Awful pain. Because he carries the terrifying wrath of a holy and just God against him. What keeps Jesus on the cross? It is not the nails. It is not even our sin, yours and mine. What keeps Jesus on the cross, experiencing hell on earth? It is his love for his Father. His love in accomplishing his Father's good pleasure in saving. I do as the Father commanded me, because I love the Father. This is what happened at the cross. This is what Jesus wants everyone to know. Verse 31, so that the world may know that I love the Father. And again, friends, you've got to ask, how on earth would we ever figure that out for ourselves? How on earth could we ever look at the cross without an explanation and learn from that that Jesus loves his Father? Well, we'll have to be told. The world will have to be told. Who will tell them? Anyone who loves Jesus and keeps his word. So that as the Christian speaks Jesus' word about his love for the Father shown at the cross, the Spirit is speaking life. The Spirit is taking Jesus' word and using them to bring people to believe, so that the world may know that the Son loves the Father. Do you see then how Jesus is answering Judas's question? How is it, verse 22, that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus says, no, I am going to show myself to the world. And I've got a role for you to play in it that you didn't see coming, Judas. By my spirit, I will make people who keep my word into my temple, so that as you keep and speak my word, the world will come to know that I love my Father. Which means that in your life and mine tonight, if you're a Christian trusting Jesus, Jesus is displaying his beauty to the world. You are part of his answer to Judas in verse 22. Jesus is using you that the world may know that he loves his Father. And so, we come back to where we started. Are you alone tonight? Never. Are you abandoned? Impossible. Because Jesus is with you by his Spirit and through his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these wonderful promises that the Lord Jesus makes us. We thank you that they are not empty words, but that he has bled and died to keep them, and that he has poured out his Spirit. Father, for all of us, there will have been times, even as Christians, where we have felt very alone. Would you teach us even now that Jesus' promises are more trustworthy than our experiences? And that no matter what we felt or experienced, he has kept his word, and that his Spirit has always been with us. And as we look to the future, as we look to the week ahead, give us, we pray, this confidence, this peace that Jesus promises and leaves, that our hearts would not be troubled or afraid, but that we would know we are not alone, we are never alone. Jesus is with us by his Spirit and through his word. And would we then be so filled with your love that we delight to take your word to the world, that through us Jesus would manifest his glory and show the world how much he loves you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.